from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're talking some baseball right now. Perfect time to bring in Zach Krasner from theanalyst.com. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, not bad. Appreciate you making some time for us this afternoon. And we've talked a lot about the trade deadline here in Baltimore, with the deadline coming at the end of the month. Orioles have a specific need at pitching. But when you look at the deadline, and I feel like the deadline is important for different reasons for every team in the league, who do you feel like is the deadline is most important to as we get to the midway point of the season?
It's tricky, right? I mean, I think the overwhelming story of the deadline right now is trying to figure out who exactly is going to sell. Mm-hmm. You do not have a lot of teams that can really look at their situation and say they have no chance at the playoffs. And the teams that can say that are not bursting with good options to sell. So, you know, you've got the White Sox, and obviously, you know, if you're an Orioles fan, you're probably looking at Garrett Crochet and thinking the Orioles have the best kind of group of prospects to maybe try and go get him. But outside of that, you've got some really interesting teams that have decisions to make, whether that's the Cincinnati Reds, the Texas Rangers, the Washington Nationals. I mean, some of the Toronto Blue Jays are maybe the big one that they might be loath to trade with the Orioles, but I think they are a team with some real talent that might choose to sell. And so I think those are kind of the teams that have the decisions that will change the scope of this. But I think if you look at teams that need to do something to maybe change their playoff position that are already contenders, you know, the teams in the AL Central, the Guardians and the Royals and the Twins, I think the Guardians and the Royals especially could use pitching to solidify their position. And I think you look at a team like the Red Sox that didn't necessarily expect to be where they are, that, you know, maybe with one or two moves, they could really make a difference for themselves. So those are some of the teams I'd be looking at.
Hey, Zach, what do you think the Orioles do? They make one move with a starter, or do they make two moves and get a relief pitcher too? What's your opinion there?
I would bet that they make multiple moves on the pitching staff. I think the starter will be the top priority. I would not be surprised, given the kind of small seller market, if they wind up needing to add in bulk instead of with a big headliner. You know, if they don't want to give up the prospect capital necessary to get Garrett Crochet, which might be something really, really big, then maybe they go get two guys and try to see what works best. You know, I could see them swinging, you know, a deal for a couple mid-level guys, whether that's, you know, Zach Littell with the Rays could be on the block. The Angels have like Tyler Anderson and some arms that are more veteran useful guys who might be interesting, but none of those guys is going to solve the frontline pitcher problem by themselves. But if you add a couple of them, you might get someone who really pops.
We're talking to Zach Crizer from TheAnalyst.com. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Zach, the Yankees, they started off really hot. They're still in they're still the top wild card spot in the American League, but they're now looking up at the Orioles. The three games back, the Orioles have kind of beat up on the Yankees throughout the season when they have matched up. How concerned are you in the state of the Yankees right now? Do you feel like they can right the ship?
I think they can stabilize, but I think the pace they were playing at early in the season is probably not coming back. You look at the Yankees, and they really have the same issue they've had for the past 3 years, which is they don't have hitters that are succeeding beyond their big guys. They did a good thing in that now instead of just one big guy in Aaron Judge, they have two big guys in Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. But beyond that, they have not developed, and, you know, They have two things. They haven't developed impact hitters in the Anthony Volpe group. You know, he's an impact defender, but his bat has not really worked out yet. And then the other part that was supposed to work for them were kind of these veterans, and you've seen aging and injuries kind of take a toll on Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu. Stanton has been better this year when he's been on the field, so I think they kind of need to hope that that returns. But the overall lineup just lacks depth, and I don't see how that's really going to be solved aside from making significant trades. And then the pitching rotation we all thought might be a bit of an issue when Garrett Cole was out. He's back, but some of the starters who have been up and down are just currently down. I don't think Carlos Rodon will be this bad. I think Marcus Stroman has had a little bit of a down period and will probably be better than he has been the last month. So they'll stabilize, but I think they do have the existing issue of they've got to figure out depth for that lineup if they hope to really make waves.
Hey, Zach, what's your opinion of Paul Skenes?
I don't know how you can have any other opinion other than the guy looks amazing. You know, the splinker, which we originally saw with Joan Duran, the reliever for the Twins, I think that was the first time I had heard of and seen that pitch. I mean, he's using it to such deadly effect. It's a 95-mile-per-hour version of an unhittable pitch across baseball, the splitter that everyone wants to throw. He's kind of got this morphed version of it, and when you combine that with his top-end four-seam velocity and the slider that really moves horizontally, even I was watching his start against the Mets last week, and even when he had some things that weren't really working, didn't have the right fastball command in the first few innings there, he figured out a new way to pitch because he has the several diabolical options, and he started throwing that slider a lot more, and that worked for him that day. So I think he's really got a lot of options. He'll take his lumps at some point comparatively, but he's an amazing talent.
Zach, I want to go out to the American League West. Seattle, they currently are at the top of that division, 2-game lead over the Astros. The Rangers, they're right behind the Astros right now, 3.5 games back behind the Astros. I know Houston, they're not playing up to their usual standard. Well, at least they didn't start out the year playing up to their usual standards. It looks like that's turning around right now. Do you feel like either them or Texas can kind of swoop in and take this division from Seattle?
I think Houston can take the division. You know, I think they will be a team that moves for pitching at the deadline they hope to get Justin Verlander back, but that's still probably a bit of a ways off. Their lineup is going to be better than it was the first couple months, and we've already seen that they're surging. The Mariners need hitting. The Astros need pitching. I don't know that there's an advantage in the market there, although I do somewhat trust the Astros more to go make an impact addition. And so you have to look at the Astros as a very serious threat to the Mariners. I think with the Mariners pitching, they have a, and the start that they have a leg up, but they're, you know, talking about teams that need to do something at the deadline. The Mariners need a hitter. They're obviously hoping Julio Rodriguez returns to form, but they have to do something to that offense if they hope to realistically stay ahead of the Mariners or ahead of the Astros for the rest of the season. Texas is pretty far back there. I struggle to see Texas getting healthy enough, fast enough to really make a run at the division. Could they threaten a wild card spot? Maybe, but I've seen some reports that they might lean towards selling some of their veteran pieces, and I wouldn't really blame them if they remain, you know, 8 games out come later this month.
Hey, Zach, does Detroit trade Skubal? And if they did, what would it cost the Orioles?
Oh, I don't think they'll trade Skubal. I think they might trade a lot of things, but I can't really see the case for trading Skubal, at least not at this juncture. I think they should try to build around him, but it would cost a lot. I don't know how else to say that one. It would cost some really top prospects. I think, you know, when you obviously not the Jackson Holliday tier, but beyond that, you know, you're looking at giving up someone very central to the future plans, whether that's a young major leaguer like a Jordan Westberg or a prospect like a Kobe Mayo. You know, you're going to be in that tier to get a Tarik Skubal away from Detroit.
Zach, you mentioned it earlier. It's kind of a mixed market right now in terms of who's going to be buyers and sellers, and everybody feels like they're still in it, especially with all these wild card options open. When you look at some of these teams that are just on the outside looking in of the wild card race right now, who do you feel like has the best chance to maybe fight their way back into it?
We already talked about the Astros, and I think they're one of the obvious candidates to fight their way into it. I think the Diamondbacks and the Mets stand out in the NL. Those teams are obviously pretty close already. A game and a half back for the Mets, 2.5 for the Diamondbacks. I think we'll see what the trade deadline decisions are like for those GMs. David Stearns of the Mets and Mike Hazen of the Diamondbacks have both pulled off sort of buy and sell deadlines before, and I'll be interested to see how they hedge their bets or whether they hedge their bets at this deadline. But I think both of those teams have been on the upswing the past couple months and playing more like the projections indicated they could. So they don't need a lot to kind of keep playing well. And I would expect, you know, Corbin Carroll to have a better second half than his first half. I would expect Jordan Montgomery, if he is healthy, to pitch better than he has in the first half. So those are the big ones. I'm interested. I think the Royals are in a position where they might consider buying a little bit, and I don't love their odds of doing it, but I think they're in an interesting spot and have some nice young players to where I could see them getting hot and pushing into the wild card.
Zach, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you making some time for us on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, yes, Zach. Sir. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch, see what's going on around the league. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL lunch here on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. And Vinny, yesterday, I've been seeing clips of this, you know, the Giants are doing the offseason hard knocks. Yeah. And they had the episode yesterday of Joe Sheen, the GM out in New York, talking to Saquon Barkley. And right before he tells Saquon, you know, that they're going to let him test the market, he didn't want to go through the franchise tag again, because remember, they had done that the year before with Saquon, and that really wasn't pretty. Had Saquon kind of threatening to sit out the year before they got an immediate deal done just for last year. Also had clips of them interviewing some of the guys in this year's class, and a lot of the clips that are going around right now on social media is of the clips of Brian Daboll interviewing Drake May and Caleb Williams and my guy Jaden Daniels up in D.C. And I'm not going to lie, Drake May seemed sharp. He seemed really sharp in the meetings. Yep. He was able to regurgitate a lot of the information that was brought back. Daboll's playing some mind tricks and trying to confuse the guys on the play calls and stuff and the assignments. But to May's credit, he was able to keep up and has got Twitter and everything buzzing. But my whole thing is, you know, Mac Jones at one point was thought to be kind of the smartest guy that quarterback class. And it's a difference between knowing what's supposed to happen and actually seeing it and processing it and doing it in real time.
Yeah, the thing about it is you kind of got to be when you're like interviewing quarterbacks and stuff, I mean, a big part of it is that he's really smart. All right. And then what you got to do is then you got to go back to the tape and say, do you see that? Does he play smart? Because, you know, he may be able to regurgitate it and do all that. But then when you see him play, you say, how's he miss that?
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta know it, but you got to be able to do it.
Another thing that's come out today, starting today on Netflix, that, you know, they had the quarterback documentary.
Right.
The wide receiver is out today. That's got Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown, George Kittle, and Davante Adams is the group rounding out. All really good players in their own right. The quarterback series was really good. Got to open up the door to the behind the scenes stuff.
Kelsey turned it down.
Yeah, so I guess that's how George Kittle was able to get in. Still a one of the better tight ends in the league, a top three tight end, and has a lot of personality in his own right.
No doubt.
So I don't think they'll be missing much there. They'll probably miss out on the Taylor Swift effect, but They'll get a tight end with some personality.
That's why he turned it down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He doesn't need it.
No, he's fine. He's a Super Bowl champ again. He still got Taylor Swift. He's doing just fine. But are you excited to watch the series? Any of these players in particular you want to see a lot of?
Maybe Justin Jefferson. Because all those guys are young, pretty much young guys. I don't know that much about those guys. So, like, all of them is kind of cool. You know, like, I thought Cousins was interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought that one was pretty interesting, you know. So I kind of like watching all of those things. To me, I find something about each one kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't really watch a lot of the Hard Knock stuff, honestly.
I haven't seen any of it. I want to see a little of the Bears. I want to see Caleb Williams some.
Yeah,
and then the end of the year, the Ravens.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out, obviously. But I usually don't go out of my way to watch the Hard Knock stuff. I think I will watch the wide receiver on my own time. I'm not going to go and binge watch it or anything like that today. But I will try to watch the whole series. Out in Dallas, Dak Prescott, you know, he's in a walking boot. He's been trying to downplay it, saying that it's just precautionary, and you know, he's still doing great right now, and he's trying to lower the concerns that people have. But it just seems like every time anybody talks about the Cowboys this offseason, it hasn't been positive,
right,
in terms of how they're feeling about this team going into the season. And this is kind of the latest. It's just tough for me. Granted, I very rarely think anything positive about the Cowboys to begin with.
Right.
But even looking at it objectively, it's tough to look at this Cowboys team and see them take a step forward.
Yeah, well, the thing with Dak Prescott, I mean, if you're wearing a boot, there's something to it. Your ankle's not right.
Right.
So there's a red flag. Just find out what the red flag is. But I just think the Cowboys are sending all the wrong messages. They won't do any contracts, whether it be players or coaches. Everybody's on the last year of their deal, and they got to get CeeDee Lamb done. They need to get Dak taken care of. You know, McCarthy, I just think that's a – when all your coaches are on the last year of their deal, they know that it's not only win – but you got to win in the playoffs. And I don't know if winning a game in the playoffs is good enough. I think they got to go to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. The expectations are going to be insanely high for them. Let's go out to Green Bay, Jordan Love and company, a young group offensively that as the year went on last year, they got better and better, even into the postseason,
yep,
going to Dallas, stomping the Cowboys out, almost still in that divisional round game from San Francisco on the road. This offseason, they've got a lot of their young guys returning for another year. They added Josh Jacobs because Aaron Jones, he leaves. He goes to Minnesota, stays in the division. Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay.
Yep.
What do you think about Josh Jacobs and that fit in Green Bay?
Well, I think it'll be good. West Coast offense, zone stuff. I think he'll be fine there. I mean, he's a good runner. He's got burst, explosiveness, and the best thing is he catches the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, I like Josh Jacobs a lot. He is one of those backs that gives you a combination of things. And Aaron Jones did the same thing for them.
He
was a guy that helped them in the passing game as well. He was a guy that had a nose for the end zone. So I'm curious to see if Josh Jacobs, who didn't have the year last year that he had the year before, but I thought he was still solid as he started to, you know, get in a rhythm.
Yeah, and they didn't have a quarterback,
right,
and they weren't a very good team,
right,
and they fired a coach, and – you know, they had a lot of issues last year. But I think Josh Jacobs will help the Packers a bunch. I don't think cold weather or any of that will bother them. And I think it'll make Jordan Love even that much better and vice versa. I think Love will make him better.
Let's go out to Tampa Bay. The Bucs, they made the postseason last year. Baker got an extension this year, this offseason. He looked pretty good for the Bucs last year. Seems like maybe he found a home, and mm-hmm, Mike Evans got a new deal as well, and another 1,000-yard season for him. The Bucs, they surprised people by making the postseason last year. You feel like the Bucs can represent the South again?
Yeah, Atlanta's got a better roster. And if Cousins I think Cousins is a better quarterback, you know, than Baker. So, and they got weapons. They got running game. They've got, I think if you just lined up the rosters and who I would put my money on, I'd put on Atlanta more so than Tampa.
Yeah, I would agree in terms of the roster. My only issue is I feel like Atlanta, yes, they've lacked the quarterback position, and that's a huge part of it. Yep. I don't want to overlook that. But they've had talent. You know, Atlanta's had plenty of talent. It was games last year where their number one pick, Bijan Robinson, isn't even getting the ball. I mean, granted, Arthur Smith is now gone.
Their quarterback situation sucked.
That was terrible.
Last year.
Yeah, and I, it's tough for me to even fully blame Desmond Ridder because I felt like it was kind of a toxic situation. I just felt like Arthur Smith wasn't fully committed to anything that they had on the roster. It just seemed like he was reluctant at times to use Bijan the way that he should have. He's reluctant to kind of stick with a quarterback, whether it's Taylor Heineke or the guy that I just mentioned, Ridder, Desmond Ridder. It just seems like he's all over the place. They still haven't found a way to get Kyle Pitts the ball yet, and he was thought to be one of the best tight end prospects in a long time. And I think Drake London's a stud. I think he's been a stud. It just, you know, hasn't had the quarterback to get him the ball. We'll see if Kirk Cousins changes that.
Yeah, because you would think, though, because Arthur, and I know Arthur, Arthur Smith, when he was in Tennessee, he just fed him the ball, and he made Tannehill a good player. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably do a good job in Pittsburgh. Maybe he's just a coordinator, not a head coach.
I was about to say, some guys are just coordinators.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, if with Bijan, if he was trying to prove a point, and maybe he wouldn't block, or I don't know what decision. But his quarterback situation was awful.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we talked about one of the Ravens rookies earlier in Tez Walker. Let's talk about another one in TJ Tampa. Vinny will give you his scouting report before the draft, and we'll talk about how we feel like TJ Tampa fits into this team next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster. Here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock, where Inside Access will take over from there. They're live out at Pickles, which will be the site for Baltimore baseball tonight with Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter. They'll start getting you ready at 5:30. Orioles first pitch is at 6:35, game 2 against the Cubs downtown. But we're talking some Ravens football right now, and we're looking at the Ravens rookie class, and Vinny's giving his pre-draft synopsis on these guys. And Vinny, we're now looking at fourth round selection, TJ Tampa.
Yeah, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, senior, 6'1", 189, ran 4.52. 32 1/8 arm, so he's got good arm length, 9 5/8 hands. Now in 2020 at Iowa State, 9 games as a reserve, had 5 tackles. 2021, 13 games. 5 starts, 18 tackles, 3 PBUs. 22, 12 starts. So basically a 2.5-year starter. 12 starts, 40 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 9 PBUs. Quarterback rating when they were throwing at him, 70.7. In 23, his senior year, 12 starts, 44 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 7 PBUs, quarterback throwing at him, 54.8. And they didn't throw it at him as much. And then he had a hamstring surgery, so there was no combine. Now his strengths, he's got size, he's got length, he shows good hands, physical, he'll hit, smart in zone, likes to throw his body around, got long arms, helps with deflections, quick read and react in zone. Good reading quarterback in zone, good eyes in zone, good ball awareness, plays with passion, uses hands and length and press, uses hands to get off of blocks well, has good ball skills. Weakness, time speed, little high in his pedal, catch up speed versus big speed, change of direction versus quick receiver, must wrap consistently, he'll gamble and take risks on the ball. In summary, I said TJ has good height, size, build and arm length, and he uses all those traits. He'll need more coaching to develop in man-to-man with his pedal and tackling to rap. He's a tough physical kid. He plays with passion. He's a player that may fit best with a team that plays a lot of zone and use him to press. Not sure how he will hold up versus deep speed and quick pro receivers. And then when you watch him at camp, I mean, the smarts, the ball skills, the awareness, you see all that stuff, you know, without the pads on. And you see his ball skills. To me, he's got phenomenal ball skills. He makes plays on the ball. I think his reading of the quarterback is excellent. I think he's a really smart football player is what he is. Now, I did see him not have the catch-up speed on some deep plays. And I was always kind of thinking, too, that maybe he could kind of roll in there and play some safety, too, just because he's got ball skills and he's got decent range. And at Iowa State, they kind of moved him around a lot, too. But I like him as a football. I think he's a football player, and I think he's a football player that'll be better when the pads get on. And I think they're not going to – they know, you know, I mean, coaches – what is he good at? What are the best things he does and what is he not good at? All right, we're not going to put him against Kansas City. We're not going to line him up on Xavier Worthy and expect him to cover him or Marquise Brown one-on-one in man coverage, you know, and he's got to cover him deep. Maybe if it's that type of situation, Cordell, I think they put him in press and tell him beat him up. Don't let him off the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So I think we're going to see, and I liked everything I saw with TJ at the minicamp, but I think we're going to like more things about TJ when the pads come on and he can use his physicality. And we're not going to see him tackle till the preseason games. That's, you know, they're not going to tackle. So we'll see, is he going to rap consistently and those types of things when we get to the preseason games.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of his best traits haven't been able to get put on display because, you know, the DBs can't do anything right now. Harv's and, you know, they're not able to really contest any of these balls down the field. And
nope.
It's not a lot of jamming. You know, they'll probably touch a guy's up a little bit, but there's not a lot of contact in the practices that they've had to this point. So I am curious to see how he looks once he is able to start showing, you know, the full repertoire of what he's able to do. And the aggressiveness is the big thing, the physicality. I think he started to show it a little bit on some of those point of contact, you know, at the ball down the field a little bit on the back end of camp. But again, it was frowned upon. They're not able to do a lot of that. I want to see what he looks like once the pads are on and we get into some of these real 7-on-7s, these real 1-on-1 drills, and how good are his hands, how good is he, you know, and keeping the guy in front of him, because like you said, his recovery speed is a thing that is a little concerning to me.
Right.
And even the thing about him potentially playing safety, I'm curious to find out what the Ravens think in terms of that safety spot in general, whether it's external or internal, and how serious is it? How real is it of the chance of them allowing a potential corner to be, you know, play that hybrid role of safety and corner?
And probably what we're going to see early on, too, you know, with Trenton Simpson in the nickel, is he in or is he out? You know, like in the dime stuff, because, all right, maybe you take Simpson out and you put Tampa in.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of, you know, put your better ball people there. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. But he's definitely going to have a role.
Oh,
I think
he's
too good a player and too smart of a player and too instinctive a player not to have a good role, you know, for them. And he's definitely going to be on all the teams also because, I mean, you're talking about a kid that's 6'1", 190 pounds, you know, and got some length to him and stuff, and he's got toughness and nastiness about him. It's not like he, you know, he turns things down. No, he'll go tackle. So that's why I could see him being on the field somehow, some way. And I know they like him a lot, too.
Yeah, special teams is definitely going to be something I think he's involved in. And even in terms of the cornerback rotation, I want to get a look at that in general because they got a handful of corners. I mean, you drafted a corner.
What if Marlon's hurt? Who's starting? Wiggins
probably
or Jalen's?
Jalen, if he's healthy at the time,
he is right now.
Right now. We haven't really done much yet, but yeah, if he's healthy.
Yeah, but he's always been hurt in camps and stuff too.
And it feels like anytime he's healthy, he's on the field. So yeah. I do think he's going to be a part of the fold. That's why I'm just saying in general, when you look at their cornerback depth chart, I mean, you can't play them all, but you look at, all right, Marlon, Stevens, Millett, you draft Wiggins in the first round. You've got Tampa, who's got some skills. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Jalen Armour Davis, who we know that they like when he is healthy. I mean, you can't play them all. What I just want to know what each of these guys' role will end up being, because with their hole now at that third safety spot, it does kind of open it. I know our Darius has been there a little bit, but
I think he's got a shelf life.
Yeah, I think he's got a shelf life at that role,
well,
too.
Well, Cordell, how about, you know, you put Marlon inside, put Wiggins or Armour Davis on the outside, you know, and Hamilton's up in his mm-hmm. spot, and then you could throw back, you know, like you said, put one of those corners back there, because what are they doing? I mean, they're playing... You're playing pass back there at that time.
Yeah, and then Millett has been primarily used as just the nickel corner.
I like him. I think he came on. I thought good blitzer.
Mm-hmm. He's really
good.
Good as
a coming
blitzer.
Off the edge, you know, in the run stuff too. He was a good pickup at the end of the season, and like I said, that kid got better and better and better, and he's a good addition for them, especially like. Because they put Hamilton on one side and Millett on the other.
Right.
And each, you know, you can come from either side and both are good blitzers and stuff. I'll be anxious to see the new stuff that they drum up for Hamilton mm-hmm. for this year in the back end. Because, I mean, you're wasting if you just keep him deep safety.
And that's the thing. They got to figure out that third safety to feel comfortable enough to continue to use Hamilton yep. that way. Because, I mean, I know they like our Darius, but it's just tough to really put all your eggs into that basket.
You know what I saw, Cordell, is when during the mini camps and stuff, he's trying to cover Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is swatting him like a fly, you know, because he could be in perfect trail position and everything. And
which
Andrews
he usually is.
reaches up here. And, you know, somebody's somebody's hitting him from behind, like swatting. You know, and it's just a mismatch. Nothing against him, but it's a mismatch.
It is a mismatch indeed. And, you know, Geno Gates, you know, those seven interceptions are going to be missed. Not that I'm not sitting here acting like I believe Geno Stone is a seven interception guy year in and year out. But those were turnovers that they got from him last year that they're going to need to try to figure out how they're going to get that now.
Well, plus, we haven't had a healthy Marcus Williams
except
for probably four games
exactly
in 2 years.
Exactly.
So, and to me, he took charge in the minicamps.
Oh, he looked great in minicamp just from his play and even his communication, very vocal.
Oh, he was like Roquan Smith.
Yeah, that was the most I've really felt his presence since he's been here in a, you know, in an off-season setting through all these off-season workouts or whatever, training camp, mini camp. That was the most active I had seen Marcus Williams to this point.
Yeah, and I was happy because...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster. Here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock, where Inside Access will take over from there. They're live out at Pickles, which will be the site for Baltimore baseball tonight, with Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter. They'll start getting you ready at 5:30. Orioles first pitch is at 6:35, game two against the Cubs downtown. But we're talking some Ravens football right now, and we're looking at the Ravens rookie class, and Vinny's giving his pre-draft synopsis on these guys. And Vinny, we're now looking at fourth-round selection, TJ Tampa.
Yeah, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, senior, 6'1", 189, ran 4.52. 32 and an eighth arm, so he's got good arm length, 9 5/8 hands. Now, in 2020 at Iowa State, 9 games as a reserve, had 5 tackles. 2021, 13 games, 5 starts, 18 tackles, 3 PBUs. 22, 12 starts. So basically a 2.5-year starter. 12 starts, 40 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 9 PBUs, quarterback rating when they were throwing at him, 70.7. In 23, his senior year, 12 starts, 44 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 7 PBUs, quarterback throwing at him, 54.8. And they didn't throw it at him as much. And then he had a hamstring surgery, so there was no combine. Now, his strengths, he's got size, he's got length, he shows good hands, physical, he'll hit, smart in zone, likes to throw his body around, got long arms, helps with deflections, quick read and react in zone, good reading quarterback in zone, good eyes in zone, good ball awareness, plays with passion, uses hands and length and press, uses hands to get off of blocks well, has good ball skills, weakness, time, speed. Little high in his pedal, catch-up speed versus big speed. Change of direction versus quick receiver. Must wrap consistently. He'll gamble and take risks on the ball. In summary, I said TJ has good height, size, build, and arm length, and he uses all those traits. He'll need more coaching to develop in man-to-man with his pedal and tackling to wrap. He's a tough, physical kid. He plays with passion. He's a player that may fit best with a team that plays a lot of zone and use him to press. Not sure how he will hold up versus deep speed and quick pro receivers. And then when you watch him at camp, I mean, the smarts, the ball skills, the awareness, you see all that stuff. you know, without the pads on, and you see his ball. To me, he's got phenomenal ball skills. He makes plays on the ball. I think his reading of the quarterback is excellent. I think he's a really smart football player is what he is. Now, I did see him not have the catch-up speed on some deep plays, and I was always kind of thinking, too, that maybe he could kind of roll in there and play some safety, too, just because he's got ball skills and he's got decent range. And at Iowa State, they kind of moved him around a lot, too. But I like him as a football. I think he's a football player, and I think he's a football player that'll be better when the pads get on. And I think they're not going to – they know, you know, I mean, coaches, what is he good at? What are the best things he does, and what is he not good at? All right, we're not going to put him against Kansas City. We're not going to line him up on Xavier Worthy and expect him to cover him, or Marquise Brown one-on-one in man coverage, you know, and he's got to cover him deep. Maybe if it's that type of situation, Cordell, I think they put him in press and tell him, beat him up. Don't let him off the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So I think we're going to see, and I liked everything I saw with TJ at the minicamp, but I think we're going to like more things about TJ when the pads come on and he can use his physicality. And we're not going to see him tackle till the preseason games. That's, you know, they're not going to tackle. So we'll see. Is he going to rap consistently and those types of things when we get to the preseason games?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of his best traits haven't been able to get put on display because, you know, the DBs can't do anything right now. Harv's and, you know, they're not able to really contest any of these balls down the field. And
nope.
It's not a lot of jamming. You know, they'll probably touch a guy's up a little bit, but there's not a lot of contact in the practices that they've had to this point. So I am curious to see how he looks once he is able to start showing, you know, the full repertoire of what he's able to do. And the aggressiveness is the big thing, the physicality. I think he started to show it a little bit on some of those point of contact, you know, at the ball down the field a little bit on the back end of camp. But again, it was frowned upon. They're not able to do a lot of that. I want to see what he looks like once the pads are on and we get into some of these real 7-on-7s, these real 1-on-1 drills, and how good are his hands, how good is he, you know, and keeping the guy in front of him, because like you said, his recovery speed is a thing that is a little concerning to me.
Right.
And even the thing about him potentially playing safety, I'm curious to find out what the Ravens think in terms of that safety spot in general, whether it's external or internal, and how serious is it? How real is it of the chance of them allowing a potential corner to be, you know, play that hybrid role of safety and corner?
And probably what we're going to see early on too, you know, with Trenton Simpson in the nickel, is he in or is he out? You know, like in the dime stuff, because, all right, maybe you take Simpson out and you put Tampa in.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of, you know, put your better ball people there. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. But he's definitely going to have a role.
I think
he's too good a player and too smart of a player and too instinctive a player not to have a good role, you know, for them. And he's definitely going to be on all the teams also because, I mean, you're talking about a kid that's 6'1", 190 pounds. You know, and got some length to him and stuff, and he's got toughness and nastiness about him. It's not like he, you know, he turns things down. No, he'll go tackle. So that's why I could see him being on the field somehow, some way. And I know they like him a lot, too.
Yeah, special teams is definitely going to be something I think he's involved in. And even in terms of the cornerback rotation, I want to get a look at that in general because they got a handful of corners. I mean, you drafted a corner.
What if Marlon's hurt? Who's starting? Wiggins
probably
or Jalen?
Jalen, if he's healthy at the time,
well,
too.
Well, he is right now.
Right now. We haven't really done much yet, but yeah, if he's healthy.
Yeah, but he's always been hurt in camps and stuff, too.
And it feels like anytime he's healthy, he's on the field. So
yeah.
I do think he's going to be a part of the fold. That's why I'm just saying, in general, when you look at their cornerback depth chart, I mean, you can't play them all, but you look at, all right, Marlon, Stevens, Millett, you draft Wiggins in the first round. You've got Tampa, who's got some skills.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Jalen Armour Davis, who we know that they like when he is healthy. I mean, you can't play them all. What I just want to know what each of these guys' role will end up being, because with their hole now at that third safety spot, it does kind of open. I know our Darius has been there a little bit, but
I think he's got a shelf life.
Yeah, I think he's got a shelf life at that role,
well,
too.
Well, Cordell, how about, you know, you put Marlon inside, put Wiggins or Armour Davis on the outside, you know, and Hamilton's up in his spot. And then you could throw back, you know, like you said, put one of those corners back there, because what are they doing? I mean, they're playing, you're playing pass back there at that time.
Yeah, and then Millett has been primarily used as just the nickel corner.
I like him. I think he came on. I thought good blitzer.
Mm-hmm. He's really good.
Good
as a
coming
blitzer.
Off the edge, you know, in the run stuff too. He was a good pickup at the end of the season, and like I said, that kid got better and better and better, and he's a good addition for them, especially like because they put Hamilton on one side and Millett on the other.
Right.
And each, you know, you can come from either side, and both are good blitzers and stuff. I'll be anxious to see the new stuff that they drum up for Hamilton for this year in the back end. Because, I mean, you're wasting if you just keep him deep safety.
And that's the thing. They got to figure out that third safety to feel comfortable enough to continue to use Hamilton that way. Because, I mean, I know they like our Darius, but it's just tough to really put all your eggs into that basket.
You know what I saw, Cordell, is when, during the mini camps and stuff, he's trying to cover Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is swatting him like a fly, you know. Get him. Because he could be in perfect trail position and everything, and
which
Andrews
he usually is.
reaches up here, and you know somebody's hitting him from behind, like swatting, you know, and it's just a mismatch. Nothing against him, but it's a mismatch.
It is a mismatch indeed. And you know, Geno Gate, you know, those seven interceptions are going to be missed. Not that I'm not sitting here acting like I believe Geno Stone is a seven interception guy year in and year out, but those were turnovers that they got from him last year that they're going to need to try to figure out how they're going to get that now.
Well, plus, we haven't had a healthy Marcus Williams
except for
probably four games.
Exactly.
In 2 years.
Exactly.
So, and to me, he took charge in the minicamps.
Oh, he looked great in minicamp just from his play and even his communication, very vocal.
Oh, he was like Roquan Smith.
Yeah, he really, I mean, just that was the most I've really felt his presence since he's been here in a, you know, in an off-season setting through all these off-season workouts or whatever, training camp, mini camp. That was the most active I had seen Marcus Williams to this point.
Yeah, and I was happy because they can have the best safety tandem in the league. That's what I think with those two.
No doubt.
Because Hamilton, he just playmaker, and Marcus Williams can play the ball.
Yep.
So that's a thing, you know, interception-wise. And you know he's tough. He's playing with one arm all last year. So the thing is the Ravens fans have, you know, we've seen the real Marcus Williams maybe for three or four games in his 2 years with the Ravens.
Hopefully we'll get to see a lot of the real ones.
If that dude's healthy, I think going to be good. And if Simpson is good, that defensive line, I talked about them, you know, the defensive line's good. I like the depth in the defensive line. You know, the outside backers and then the Simpson. Because do you like the depth that Board and Ross? I like, to me, Ross is a pretty instinctive guy, you know, as a backup.
I mean, he's shown it at times, but he just hasn't been able to get real run in real game action at
He's
at
a
that
Michigan
spot.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, and I liked him in camp a couple years ago. He's definitely a good special teams guy, but it's not a lot that you trust there after Simpson in terms of playing that spot at this level. We'll see, though. That was one of my big question marks was the depth of that inside linebacker spot. Yep. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, take one last trip through the Funhouse before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan, wrapping things up, getting you ready for Inside Access. Before we take a trip through the Funhouse real quick, I just saw something on Twitter, pretty interesting. Look, I don't know how true this is or not. This is from, and forgive me if I say his name wrong, Dejan Kovacevic. That doesn't sound very right, but he writes for the DK Pittsburgh Sports, and he put out something in his recent in this article. I retweeted it if you want to see it on my Twitter page, saying that apparently he was told from a high-ranking American League executive that at some point this year the Orioles approached the Pirates about a trade of prospects, one that would send Jared Jones to Baltimore and Jackson Holliday to Pittsburgh. And he was further told that it was Pittsburgh that backed off of the trade. He said he doesn't know when exactly it was this year that this conversation may have happened, but he said he was told that this happened within this year. So who knows? I don't know how true that is, but it was something that was on my timeline just now. And as we're getting closer to the deadline, we're going to see all sorts of reports coming out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could go to the I wanted to throw that out there.
I just saw it in the break. I mean, I don't know the validity.
Right.
I mean, the source there isn't like your big outlet, but, you know, top prospect for top prospect, pitcher for position player, a lot of different factors there. Just interesting, if true, that the Orioles were the ones that engaged in that, because that's much different than, you know, a team coming to Elias and saying, hey, you know, you want to trade Jackson Holliday? Well, average fan here would probably assume the answer to that's no, but if the Orioles were the ones making that call, that does make things a little more interesting.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, let's take a trip through the funhouse before we get out of here.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, cuteness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first one here on the Ravens. Texter says, has the team done enough in the secondary this offseason to feel comfortable if Pepe or Armour Davis aren't a part of the equation? Obviously, you want them to perform, but if the injury bug does return for both of them, are they in okay shape with the rest of the depth chart?
They've got young guys. They've got talent. They got a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick. So that's what they've they've got depth. They've got depth. It's young depth, talented depth. But I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think the world will end if Pepe isn't able to be on the field. I think they have other options right now. Like you said, they've got depth, unproven depth, but they've got depth.
One more here from Howard in Baltimore says, this time last year, the O's were 54-35, two games back of Tampa Bay. This year, 57-34, three games ahead of New York. Once the pitching help arrives at the deadline, they will exceed last year's results. Hyde should get manager of the year consideration again.
I mean, I agree. It's all right there. They laid out the facts, the records. This looks like a better team. This looks like a more mature team than the one they had last year. We all expect the Orioles to do better. And you can, I mean, doing better in the postseason is simply winning a game for the Orioles this year. So, yeah, I would say we're all hoping for that. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're live from Pickles Pub. They're coming up next. Until next time, class dismissed. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan, wrapping things up, getting you ready for Inside Access. Before we take a trip through the funhouse real quick, I just saw something on Twitter. Pretty interesting. Look, I don't know how true this is or not. This is from, and forgive me if I say his name wrong, Dejan Kovacevic. It's probably, that doesn't sound very right, but he writes for the DK Pittsburgh Sports, and he put out something in his recent, in this article. I retweeted it if you want to see it on my Twitter page, saying that apparently he was told from a high-ranking American League executive that at some point this year the Orioles approached the Pirates about a trade of prospects, one that would send Jared Jones to Baltimore and Jackson Holliday to Pittsburgh. And he was further told that it was Pittsburgh that backed off of the trade. He said he doesn't know when exactly it was this year that this conversation may have happened, but he said he was told that this happened within this year. So who knows? I don't know how true that is, but it was something that was on my timeline just now. And as we're getting closer to the deadline, we're going to see all sorts of reports coming out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could go to the... I wanted to throw that out there.
I just saw it in the break. I mean, I don't know the validity.
Right, right.
I mean, the source there isn't like your big outlet, but, you know, top prospect for top prospect, pitcher for position player, a lot of different factors there. Just interesting,
yeah.
If true, that the Orioles were the ones that engaged in that, because that's much different than, you know, a team coming to Elias and saying, hey... You know, you want to trade Jackson Holliday? Well, average fan here would probably assume the answer to that's no. But exactly. If the Orioles were the ones making that call, that does make things a little more interesting.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, let's take a trip through the funhouse before we get out of here.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first one here on the Ravens. Texter says, has the team done enough in the secondary this offseason to feel comfortable if Pepe or Armour Davis aren't a part of the equation? Obviously, you want them to perform, but if the injury bug does return for both of them, are they in okay shape with the rest of the depth chart?
They've got young guys. They've got talent. They got a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick. So that's what they've... they've got depth. They've got depth. It's young depth, talented depth. But I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think the world will end if Pepe isn't able to be on the field. I think they have other options right now. Like you said, they've got depth, unproven depth, but they've got depth.
One more here from Howard in Baltimore says, this time last year, the O's were 54-35, two games back of Tampa Bay. This year, 57-34, three games ahead of New York. Once the pitching help arrives at the deadline, they will exceed last year's results. Hyde should get Manager of the Year consideration again.
I mean, I agree. It's all right there. They laid out the facts, the records. This looks like a better team. This looks like a more mature team than the one they had last year. We all expect the Orioles to do better. And you can, I mean, doing better in the postseason is simply winning a game for the Orioles this year. So, yeah, I would say we're all hoping for that. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access. They're live from Pickles Pub. They're coming up next. Until next time, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.